I hate video games. Okay, my kids drive me crazy with it. I do not indulge. Like, they drive me crazy. I get my credit card bill back, right? I go to the store. I go to buy something. Credit card decline. I'm like, what I have to use is I just paid it. Come to find out, I got $16,000 worth of Fortnite bills on my credit card.
Yeah, NBA Australia. How you going? That's right, it's NBA Australia. It's Wednesday, April 1st. Are you the April Fool, motherfucker? I reckon you are. That's right. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes. Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and literally anyone else who wants to pay me that sweet, sweet booze money. Thank God the booze shops are still open. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you, the lowdown on fucking nothing, because nothing's going on. So we're back into it with another Kickstarter guest host. It's Fuck It Wednesday, and we do have, all the way from sunny, infected the fuck, Florida, one of our OG listeners, OG hanger-oners, it's Carson Maddox. Carson, how you going?
Jimmy, how the bloody hell are ya?
Yeah, not bad, not bad, good size. All right, so we've got Carson on today to talk some shit. We're also going to do a great idea from Carson, do the greatest NBA Australia player draft ever. Yep, we're going to each draft a team of NBA Aussies from the entire NBA Australian playing pool over the years for your judging pleasure. Going head to head. It's going to be fucking grouse. I'm pretty excited. We're going to jump back in the NBA Australia time machine, head to April 1st, 2000, which is a weird year, Carson, I'll tell you that much. Jesus. And we'll also take a quick look. It's top five season, don't forget. So we've got the top five best Ben Simmons games. Because someone asked me about that the other day, and I'm like, oh, yeah, there's probably five real fucking good ones that I've completely forgotten about. So I had a bit of a scrounge around. We'll talk about that. And that'll basically be it, because fucking not much else is really going on. The entire world shut down. So, you know, let's get done on the big jobs, though. And we'll finish up with the diary of Stephen Adams. It's going to be fun. Carson, you ready?
I am more than ready. Let's do this.
All right, this is episode 431 of NBA Australia. Jesus. Let's go.
This is Matthew Delvedover, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. Better watch out for the, the Shaq attack is that Shaq's no longer going to go to, GW Zoo, the Tiger King Zoo anymore. He had to come out and say that after the Netflix series. We're like, hey, look at Shaq. He's just hanging out here, hanging out with Joe Exotic. And Shaq's like, oh, better not go there no more. Oh, shit. And so the Shaq attack is on the Tiger King Zoo, I guess, and not hanging out with Tiger Cubs no more. Only Shaq. That's pretty smart. Have you seen Tiger King, Carson?
I'm like five episodes. I actually, full transparency, was just watching an episode before we jumped on this one.
Yeah,
you kitty cats.
Hey,
Carol Baskin here.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. We finished watching it yesterday, I guess, day before, something like that. And it was fucking great. So enjoyed that. Pretty funny. Better watch out for the Rona, I guess, if you're James Dolan. Because that's a bit of news. We always start the show with a bit of the old daily whip around. And James Dolan, he got that Rona, Carson. I mean, you don't want to wish coronavirus onto anybody, but if there was anybody, right?
I was going to ask you if this is the one exception to the rule where you don't feel bad about somebody getting it.
Yeah, I mean, there's one or two that I can think of off the top of my head, but I'm not going to be a cunt. Righto. So there's literally no other news. Like, Marcus Smart is now clear of the Rona. Doris Burke had it, but was seemingly, like, her symptoms were a little bit weird. So she was a bit worried, and then she got tested. She was positive, but she's been in isolation as well, so she seems like she's okay. The lunatic Steph Marbury, love him. He's donated an absolute shit ton of masks to his old hood of Brooklyn, so that's fucking cool. I always love Steph and Marbury, and I was always bummed that the sort of weird comeback that he had with Boston in like 2012 kind of just fell short and it was a bit weird. A bit of a shame, but anyway, cool. So with this all in mind, nothing's really going on. Carson, what the fuck have you been up to since the Rona hit? You're down there in Floridia.
It's the one time that Floridians aren't going too crazy, but at the same time, we are going crazy and having massive beach parties and, you know, fuck it, you know. Spring break, motherfuckers. No, I've been trapped indoors basically for 2 weeks. I think we're a couple of weeks ahead of you guys in Australia there. So everything's sort of been shut down already for 2 weeks over here. And just about to start, I'm about to become a kindergarten teacher tomorrow to a five and a half year old. So that's going to be fun. Not something I'd ever really planned for in my life. But yeah, just like anybody else, watching the world collapse around me. How about you, mate? How you holding up?
Is it going to be weird when you realize that your 5 and a half year old's like better at things than you?
Dude, we've been throwing ping pong balls into a bucket on a boogie board in the pool and she consistently beats me and it's pretty upsetting.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, the flip side for us is like old mates working in Larry Armour Studios. So I've been kicked out of basically my office and, you know, I'm basically stay-at-home dadding almost all the time. And the squid still gets to go to daycare because they're still open and they're still charging people. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is not kosher. What the fuck is going on? But look, so he's gone a bunch of times and I've sort of just put wheels in motion for some other shit because I'm sitting here going, what the fuck am I meant to do? Got no NBA. There's no AFL. There's nothing going on. There's no cricket. Some bullshit. So I'm in the same boat as everybody else, but I just have to sort of sit back and think about what I want to do. I'm going to, you know, just trying to get some extra guests on for this show, which has been kind of fun. So I've got some cool ones coming up, which would be good. And I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Fuck you. Fuck you, man. Thanks. That's how you're going
to
do that?
I had to get you out of the road, clearly. But nice one. Otherwise, so why are you in West Palm Beach? Like, what got you to Florida, first of all?
All right. So my now wife was doing study abroad. I was living on the Goldie. And we met at college and then dated long distance for like nearly 4 years. And then I was a bit over that. So came over here and we got married. And here we are, 10-year anniversary this year.
Jesus.
Squid. Nice. All that. Yeah. So one of those people who followed their hearts and it actually turned out pretty good.
Good stuff.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
That's fucking wild. And I mean, so in terms of like why Florida? Work?
So actually, no, my I wish. Yeah, the only work that I could get, I'm trained in film and television, so the only work I could get here was for Bang Bros.
Nice.
So no, it was not for work. So my wife's originally from Fort Lauderdale,
cool,
here down in South Florida, and we just sort of got settled here in West Palm. We're about 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers away from Mar-a-Lago, Trump's other White House. So we get to enjoy all the air traffic that gets diverted over our house because it doesn't go over his house.
Wow. Nice.
So, yeah.
Well, I was telling you off air as well that I've been to West Palm Beach once, and it was also like, you know, it was pretty great. Had one of the greatest Uber drivers in my life, you know, defending gun rights, etc., because you never know who's going to roll up on you. But we also did have one of the greatest like Florida moments ever of just one guy sitting in this bar. We were smashing some wings. Mine were vegetarian. The other guys were getting stuck in. I was the only one who didn't get food poisoning, BT Dubs. That was pretty fucking smart of me. But there was one guy just sitting in a booth by himself staring at these two other dudes who were sitting in like, you know, a middle table. The place was pretty quiet. It was like a Thursday or a Friday night. And he just kept staring at them, then started yelling shit at them. Like, I don't know if he thought they were gay or something. It seemed like that. And they're just like just two fucking dudes just sitting at a table eating dinner in a shitty bar. It's like they're watching sport. I don't know what this guy's got his fucking goat up about. And then at one point he just keeps yelling and yelling and yelling. They've gotten security involved. And at one point he just screamed out, I'm going to go in my truck. I'm going to get a gun. And I'm going to come back and shoot you motherfuckers. It's like, what the fuck just happened? Like the three of us are sitting there going, what? Ah, man, now we're in a shootout. And that's when they called the cops and he got pulled up. dragged away. It was pretty fucking wild. So West Palm Beach, man, good times, great memories.
That sounds about right for West Palm. Mm-hmm. No word of a lie. That sounds about right.
Also a couple of nice, you know, bars and stuff that we hit up around sort of the marina and some other places. Fucking good times. But anyway, what else? So you're an NBL fan as well. How do you feel about your Sydney Kings and them sort of giving up the ghost on the NBL finals and then sort of going, wait, we thought when we said we'd give up, didn't mean you'd give it straight to the other pricks. What the fuck?
Yes, I'm pretty dirty about that one, but, you know, you basically top the table from the first week to the last week. You're the best team in the league for however many weeks it is now that they play in the NBL. And then, yeah, just they got a game in out west, which was a huge surprise. And I think anybody who can win in a final series out west definitely deserves, you know, a bit of commending. But at the same time, fuck, wouldn't it be nice if Sydney just won a championship? Like, it's about fucking time it comes back. But, yeah, fucking Wildcats, man. And, I mean, I get it, but at the same time, like, I wouldn't want this to happen to an NBA fan. Like, if your team won the championship in this way, how do you feel? And if your team lost the championship in this way, how would you feel? It's fucking pretty shit way to be. There's always going to be an asterisk on any season this year. And fucking the Olympics next year is going to have an asterisk on it. So it's going to be some interesting time for sports here, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be this weird one where we look back and go, 2020, oh, yeah, that was when it was all fucked up and stuff. Shit. Yeah.
Tough.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was tough rooting for my guy, my best mate, Nick Kay, against your Sydney Kings. But, you know, we came through. He came up big. He was awesome. So that was great. So who's your NBA team then?
Oh, that's a good one, mate. So I actually originally a Utah Jazz fan. So I was very fortunate when I was about 6 years old. We went to Utah on like a Mormon retreat as a family. Just kidding. No, we didn't. We went on a ski trip to Utah, and I was very fortunate to get to go to a Salt Lake City basketball game. Coincidentally, Karl Malone was playing, who I thought I was going to get the chance to meet. So a bit let down when I got to meet the cardboard cutout of Karl Malone. And yeah, he actually turned into my favorite player. And of course, he's a lot of people's most hated player. So I'm that guy.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, he's an absolute fucking piece of shit, but was an amazing but was an amazing basketball player. So, yeah, it's weird how that works out. Yeah, I mean, the Stockton Malone thing, like, I'm actually going to talk about them in a second once we get in the time machine because they're obviously still kicking around in 2000. It's kind of weird that he is such a weird piece of shit who married or impregnated a very, very young girl, talked shit at Kobe's wife about how he was hunting little Mexican girls. All this is, of course, alleged. And was also, disowned one of his sons. Like, what a fucking legend. But anyway, but the idea, though, he was still, the second highest scoring player of all time as well, which was fucking amazing. And his longevity is
actually
incredible.
So go fuck yourself, then. It just trumps everything else.
He's incredible. He was absolutely incredible. And like you look at his numbers, just the sheer consistency is fucking crazy. So, yeah. So he was your favorite player, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, I've got probably 15 to 20 Karl Malone rookie cards sitting in a closet somewhere just fucking collecting dust. But, yeah, him and John Stockton, they were my dynamic duo. I think just because I saw them play in real life, but I love 90s basketball. For me, 90s is the night. I don't know if it was MJ or if it was just, I don't know. I like 90s basketball. That was just my thing. So So if you catch me, I'm always wearing like Adam Ballinger 90s center t-shirts and, you know, old school logos. That's my sort of jam. So I'm sort of stuck in that era a bit. Never escape it.
I like that you're talking about that to the guy who's still the Seattle Supersonics fan and has the Sean Kemp poster up on his wall in Larry Armour Studios here, along with the Nate McMillan one, a Gary Payton one. Behind me, I've got my Sonics jersey up on the wall. I've got a Barkley jersey behind me. And I've got a hanging with Mr. Cooper Warriors basketball card as a poster with Mr. Cooper, an NBA Hoops card. So you're talking to the preaching to the choir over there, Carson. Don't worry about that. And I was actually, you know, I do talk about this on the odd occasion with mates. It's like, why do you think, you know, it resonated so well? And it's because of all the different personalities, I think, in the 90s. You could always find one or two players you're like, that is just fucking my guy. Like, that is my dude. Didn't matter if it was Barkley, Ewing, Kemp, Payton, Malone, etc. MJ, obviously.
Detlef Schrempf.
Exactly. Fucking love Detlef. And, like, you could have fucking Rich Smits, Reggie Miller. It doesn't matter. I mean, talking to Lee from the Starters at the Australia game here in Melbourne. What was that, like August last year? I was actually wearing a Ballinger t-shirt.
This is
the biggest name drop I've got. And like we were talking because I introduced myself.
Recurring guest.
Exactly. Lee's been on the show. I'm like, hey, man, we've not actually met. I'm James from NBA Australia. He's like, cool, man. Love the fucking t-shirt. That's a Ballinger. And then like one of the other guys, I think from NBA Australia, was in the elevator with us. And we all got to talking about the Ballinger t-shirts and how fucking great they were and which ones we owned. And I've still got my Spreewell t-shirt because my Spreewell t-shirt, my Ballinger Spreewell t-shirt, is one of my favorite all-time t-shirts. It's the Spreewell Warriors one as well. Just because in like 1995 or something on one of my fucking folders that I had at school. You know, at high school, you'd have those fucking ring binders and you'd put shit on the front of them or whatever. I had a giant Spreewell dunking. It was the dunk that Ballinger has used for the caricature, I guess, of Spreewell on his t-shirt. So that hits me right in my fucking hat. Yeah, love it. Nice one. So what about Aussie sports then? Are you AFL, NRL, rugby union? I don't know.
I know, right? Grew up actually playing basketball and rugby union. So sort of followed union until the Wallabies got fucked in 2003 in the World Cup.
Yep.
Sort of gave up on them then. And then my local team are the Manly Ringer Seagulls. So they'd be my NRL team. A bit of a Swans fan, you know, typical Aussie who likes a bit of everything. But yeah, I'm that guy that likes Karl Malone and is a fucking Seagulls fan. So sorry, everybody. I'm that guy.
Nice. But I mean, you do have a saving grace though. Didn't you hang out with Patty Mills one time in Florida? I remember you telling me something.
Dude.
About that.
Probably the craziest NBA story I have. I work in advertising, so I was very lucky that I got 4 tickets to a game, to a local broadcaster, and my parents are visiting, so we went down to the game, and that day, Patty Mills is just did his usual thing. Game day, baller.
Hashtag.
And, didn't think much of it, just replied. It was like, can't wait to watch you play, you know. Australian coming down with my wife and my parents to watch you play, go Spurs go. I'm getting off the highway when we're going down to the game and I look down at my phone. I'm like, what the fuck is that? I've never seen that thing before. It's a Twitter DM notification. I'm like, I never get these things. And it's fucking Patty Mills and I do the double check. It's like, is that a real fucking blue check? Is that, or you know, the check mark? Is that for real? And sure as shit, he's like, hey, I've left 4 post-game passes for a meet and greet at the box office. Would love to meet you. So after the game, we got to catch up with him and we spent probably 5, maybe 10 minutes with him. He just was super casual, gave us all the time in the world, super genuine, just like a fucking nice guy. And, you know, was asking my parents, like was really interested in my parents, just like, you know, a genuine nice person. You know, when your gut just kicks in, you're like, that was a nice person who does nice things. So, yeah, I'm all for Patty for PM and Patty for flag bearer and fucking Patty for everything.
I'm on board with that too. That's awesome. What a fucking great story. What a legend. Jesus. Just out of nowhere.
I was unbelievable. I could not believe it.
That's pretty great. So other than that, I mean, what's good about living in the States? I mean, obviously I did for ages and ages and ages. What's your favorite part of actually living in the US, apart from, you know, being in the hottest of hotspots, epicenter of the coronavirus at the moment? But, you know, that's just one of the upsides, I guess. There are other favorite parts. What do you reckon?
Yeah, it's a bit tough to answer that question right now. You know, it really is. I've been scratching my head thinking, like, what's great about the US? But, you know, the cost of living is great and there are some great people. I'm very lucky. I live close to the beach. It's a lot like when I moved to the Gold Coast. You know, I grew up in Sydney, but then I lived on the Gold Coast. It's a lot like the Gold Coast in terms of a lot of old people, a lot of golf courses, little bit of neon lights in terms of the Miami sort of thing. Shit, half the Gold Coast is called Palm Beach or Miami. So
exactly.
It's basically the same thing. So, yeah, I mean, tough thing to say. Tough thing to answer, sorry, but I don't know. Just it's like living in Australia is what I, you know, it's like living in Australia. We probably had very different experiences, though. You know, you living downtown, basically New York, me living fucking a little bit suburbia, still close to downtown, but, you know, not surrounded. I can't walk five blocks and go to an Ethiopian restaurant or, you know, Vietnamese restaurant or something like that. So, but yeah, I still enjoy it. And I love my wife. I love my daughter. I'm very blessed. And yeah. I don't know. That's a tough one to answer.
Hashtag blessed. The easy answer to that question always is the price of booze. 100%. It's just like booze is so fucking cheap there that it's absolutely crazy. And
that is true.
People will constantly ask, oh man, what do you miss about like living in the States? Go-to answer 100% of the time, the cost of booze. So fucking cheap.
That's a very good point, especially at this current time where I've probably polished off a half a handle of gin today just to get ready for this.
Nice one.
And to deal with my daughter driving me insane on her last day of spring break. So
it's fucking great.
Yes, the cost of booze is the best part about living in the US.
It is. I remember just like, you know, you get around or whatever and the fact that you could buy like four or five beers and be like less than $20, I'm like, motherfucker, in Australia, like a beer costs like $14 now. Like, what the fuck are we doing? This is insane.
Yeah, but you have to tip, Jimmy. You got to tip them. And then like, that doesn't work out. No.
Don't miss tipping. Nice. All right. Well, let's go into the NBA Australia time machine. What do you reckon? We'll go check out some of the games that happened a little while ago. So. Yeah. I think I've actually got one of these. Where is it? Fucking, oh, come on. Find the fucking thing, Jimmy. Jesus, I hate this fucking board. There we go. No, I've got it. I fixed it. We're all good. Let's jump in the time machine.
Board man.
Oh, that wasn't bad. There you go.
There we go.
All right, the NBA Story time machine. Oh, hang on a second. How do I start these ones now? I give it these ones. Yes, that's right. It's NBA Australia, April 1st, 2000. Oh, shit. Some good stuff, actually, yeah. Let's do this April 1, 2000, Carson. I actually chose this day because similar to last week's, I think, what did we do? I think I did 2003 with Lakers fan Tim last week, and we did 96 the first week I did Time Machine. And it's good to pick a day with not too many games, but this one had five, and we had some classic weird teams as well. We had Charlotte beat Chicago 90-87. Now, 2000, this was actually the Chris Anstey era Bulls. Chris O even started this game. He had 6 points, five rebounds, five assists. Tell ya, the original unicorn in only 19 minutes. He was a gun. They had a rookie Elton Brand crushing it. Ron Artest coming off the bench. Fred Hoiberg started this game, which is fucking crazy. Ron Artest had 20 off the bench for Chicago. They lose because of Eldon Campbell. That's right, Eldon fucking Campbell. dropped 25 and 9 on him. Eddie Jones crushed it. He had 23. A young ass Baron Davis was on these Hornets bench too. And the entire bench for the Hornets scored 2 points, but they still won. So weird game. Weird time. This is like Chicago at their absolute, you know, post-Jordan dip. They're 14 and 58 at this point of the season. Fucking hell. And Charlotte were 41 and 31. That is wild. Ugh.
How good is it that Chris Anstey and Hoiberg played together? That was great.
It's absolutely wild. Elton Brand as well. Like, what a weird team those Chicago ones were. Cleveland.
That's and right. Wasn't Ron Artest on that team too for a period? Was he still on the team in there?
He did. He was drinking Hennessy in the locker room at halftime, dropping 20. No problems. But my favorite one might be this one because it was Cleveland.
Cleveland.
That's right, Stephen A. Smith, Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Beating Boston 109-103. This is a young-ass Paul Pierce, a young-ass Antoine Walker. They had Kenny Anderson on this Celtics team. He had 18-7. Antoine went 3-15. Classic Antoine. Paul Pierce had 22-8. He was awesome. On the Celtics, though, Vitaly Potapenko. Jesus, he had 19-9. But the best part was for the Cavs, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cleveland.
Sean Kemp. That's right, my beloved Sean Kemp. Fat Sean Kemp, 22 points, 14 rebounds, 3 blocks, leads them to the win. There was nobody else on this Cavs team either. Cedric Henderson, he had 20. Oh, well, a young ass, old ass, Andre Miller, 15-5. Lamon Murray. Clipper legend Lamond Murray, 19 points as well. But Fat Sean Kemp, after being traded from Seattle and what, through, it was a three-team to the Bucks for Vin Baker, a whole bunch of weird shit ends up on the Cavs, ends up on the Bucks. Sean Kemp is a Cav, probably got, you know, 3 or 4 other women pregnant in Cleveland within a couple of months during the lockout. Came back. Tubby Sean Kemp. I love Tubby Sean Kemp. I love those weird mid to late 90s Cavs jerseys and Sean Kemp. Look, I'm basically Fat Sean Kemp at this point as well, so I'm bursting out of my deli throwback Cavs jersey at the moment. So it all checks out.
That's right. I forgot Sean Kemp was a ranger, right?
I wish I could get a sweet high top like Sean Kemp, but my hair is too rangerish. So Boston with 30 and 43 this season. Cavs just behind him, 29 and 43. Your beloved Utah Jazz. The Yaz. I believe it's a soft J.
It's the Yaz.
So this game is crazy. Denver beat them, 112-92. Don't forget, Utah were still a fucking powerhouse at this point as well. They still had Malone and Stockton. Malone had 27-13. Stockton had 10-7. Byron Russell was dropping bombs from the outside. He had 17. But this was such a weird Nuggets time. They had Antonio McDice when he actually had like that weird stretch where he was a fucking gun. He had 33-10. They had Nick the Quick. Nick Van Sexel.
Nick the Quick.
27 and 14 assists. What a fucking game. 7 rebounds. Yeah. Unbelievable. Rafe LaFrance was on this one as well. James Posey. 8 years before he wins a title with the Celtics. 6 years before he wins a title with the Heat. He had 20 and 5. But Utah were 49 and 23 after this game. Absolutely crushing it. And Denver were 30 and 43. So they're this weird, amazing team that never put it together, and it's still fucking weird to think about 20 years later. Houston beat Atlanta 115-93. This is still Dikembe on the Hawks before he ends up on Philly. 14-10 for Jet Terry. Jim Jackson was on this Hawks team too. It's fucking weird because Jim Jackson, you know, part of the Triple J's, now one of the very good TNT broadcasters on their Tuesdays. For the Rockets, though, Steve Francis, a.k.a. Donovan Mitchell 1.0, he had 16 points. The rest of this Houston team is fucking weird. It's like Cat Mobley, Big Cat. He had 24 off the bench for the Rockets. Kelvin Cato, Kenny Thomas. I mean, wow. What a weird, horrible team this was. And Houston are basically on their way post-Hakeem, post-Barkley, post-Drexler on their way to what, drafting Yao a couple of years later. So pretty weird. They were 28 and 45. Atlanta were 26 and 46. Jesus. And finally, the Jailblazers beat the absolute piss out of the Bucks, 113-79. Ray Allen on those Bucks, 13 points and 4 of 13 shooting. Big balls. Sam Cassell, 22 and 6. And big dog, Glenn Robinson, the first, or the second? He would have been the second because Little Big Dog is Glenn Robinson the third. So that's weird. Glenn Robinson never called himself Glenn Robinson Jr., did he? Weird. Anyway, Danny Manning was on this team as well, which is weird. He had 6 minutes, 0 points. And Big Dog was horrible. 9 points on 12 shots. The Blazers, though. I still fucking love these 2000 Blazers. PDX Pete knows what I'm talking about. Sheed, Damon Stoudemire, Jermaine O'Neal, Steve Smith, Scottie Pippen, Bonzi Wells, Detlef Schrempf, Stacey Augmon, Greg Anthony. What a fucking team. And then they shit the bed against the Lakers time and again. Real shame. Real shame. Anyway, Portland won this. They were 53-19 at this point in the season. Milwaukee, 34-38. So pretty cool, pretty fun, pretty weird. What a bizarre fucking day this would have been. Anyway, just run-of-the-mill stuff in 2000. Carson, what do you reckon about the NBA Australia approved performance of the night? Who do you reckon this one's going to go to? It's pretty interesting.
Detlef.
Knife. That's a knife.
I don't know. How about your man, Karl Malone? Does that sound good? 37.
Why don't we do your man, Sean Kemp?
Well, this is what I've got written down. I've got 37-year-old Karl Malone, 27, 13, 4 assists, 8 of 18 shooting. Fat ass Sean Kemp on the Cavs, 22 and 14 with 3 blocks. But also Damon Stoudemire basically had a bit of a run. Look, I love Damon Stoudemire when I was younger. Across his time on the Blazers, the Raps, etc., and he had like a good little run there. Amazing when he was in Portland. 31 points. He went 7 of 12 from downtown in this game. 7 of 12. This is before three-pointers were cool. Holy shit. 6 assists, 3 rebounds and a steal. You can basically, look, this is going to be a guest pick. So Damon, Karl Malone, or Fat
no,
Sean
Kemp. Damon. Come on. I mean, I can't give it to Karl. I can't give it to Fat Sean Kemp. Sorry, mate. Right. With 31 points, with that type of performance, way before the three-pointer became such an integral part of the league, got to give it to Damon Stoudemire.
Yeah, basically, what's that? Damian Lillard 1.0. Checks out.
Basically.
Spud of the
that
night.
Sounds like a Damian Lillard type of stat line, doesn't it?
It is. 31-6, 12-19 shooting, 7-12 from three. That's basically a Lillard's stat line. It's fucking weird. Yeah, more things change the way they stay the same. Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
For a weird, just random night in 2000, a lot of spuds. Tim Thomas, 3 of 14. Big Dog, 4 of 12. Ray Allen, 4 of 13, all for the Bucks. Horrible, horrible game for the Bucks. You get that when you only score 79 points, I guess. Antoine Walker, 12 points on 3 of 15 shooting. I mentioned that. Dana Barros, 2 of 8. Jesus, Dana. What are you doing, mate? I think he was on the Hornets at that point. And Wesley Person, 0 of 5 from the floor. More like a Wesley non-person? Nah, don't like that one. Finally, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. I'm relaunching Big Baller Brown. Carson, you going to get your merch? Get your merch?
Steve-o.
Get your merch. Get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch. Get your merch. Get your merch. Get your merch.
Oh, yeah. Big Baller Brown is back. It must mean it's balling season.
It's balling season.
Fuck yeah. All right. Ben and Lonzo Ball today. Elton Brand. Amazing game for Chicago. They come, you know, they fall short by 3 points, but he had himself a fucking game. How's this? Just a lazy 23 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 blocks. Jesus. Sorry, yeah, 24, 8, and 5. 5 turnovers as well. That's classic Lonzo there, but damn, that is a fucking game and a half from Elton Brand. Not bad. Not bad. Also a weird time because you remember like the 99-2000 drafts were a bit sketchy and none of these teams had really great rookies. So slim pickings for better than Lonzo Ball, I guess. Nice one. All right, Carson, you're going to stick with us. We're going to do the greatest NBA Australia draft ever. Top 5 season and quickie NR after this break. Sound good?
If I have to, I'll see you after the break, mate. Later.
Sweet.
This is Miss Creek. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. We're back with Carson, Mad Dogs over there in Floridia. And this great idea that he came up with for us doing an all Aussie NBA Australia draft is fucking grouse. So what'd you think of this, Carson?
I'm an ideas man, Steve.
I dug a hole.
I think I'd actually once before given you the idea of the Aussie NBA champion and their superstar 2-on-2 comp where you would have Deli and LeBron, yep. And you would have, you know, Patty and Timmy. You would have, Longley and Jordan. And then I think it was even Gazy and David Robinson, maybe? Yeah. I can't remember, but I was thinking, how can I stretch myself? And I think something we haven't done is address how many people have been in the league, how many great Aussies have been in the league, how many bad Aussies have been in the league, and could we do an all-star game between two teams full of Aussies, and who would win?
I love it. I absolutely love it. All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to draft out of the 25 to 28-ish Australian-ish players who have been in the NBA, excluding that fucking lunatic Kyrie Irving, because, I don't know, it's not the official...
He's a flat earther.
Yeah, he's a flat earther, and it's not really the official policy of this here NBA Australia podcast to say fuck Kyrie, but a lot of the time that's how we lean. So fuck Kyrie. So let's basically... So we're going to go snake draft. We're one, two, and then... Whoever picks second gets three, then whoever picks first gets four? Or is that too tough to remember? Just want to go back and forth?
I think we just go back and forth. I've had a few too many gins here.
It's too hard for me to keep track of. All right, so we're going to rock, paper, scissors. Verbal rock, paper, scissors. I fucking love a good verbal rock, paper, scissors. But who goes first?
All right, so we're doing rock, paper, scissors, and then we say the thing, right?
Yeah.
Sounds okay.
Good. All right, so on three.
Ready?
Yeah, one, two.
This should be good with the international delay, by the way. Here we go, ready?
Yeah, one, two, three, rock.
Rock, paper, scissors, paper. Rock.
Damn it! All right. All right. So you win. Verbal rock, paper, scissors, cross-continental was not bad, actually. All right, so off you go, Carson. Your first pick.
With the first pick, I am going to take Big Dick Benny, Ben Simmons.
That's a good one, and it's a fantastic first overall pick. Can't complain, can't argue. And
I do believe he has the highest points per game of any Australian player, and that was my deciding factor in the whole thing.
I love it. With my first pick, I'm going to throw a curveball. I'm going to take Jingles.
You've shattered my heart. You've stolen my man. Why? Why Jingles with the number one pick?
So with the number one pick on my side.
Or for your team.
The big thing that we don't have a lot of in terms of the Australian Aussies is swingmen. Like the small forward position is pretty thin. We've got a lot of shooting. We've got a lot of big guys, but we don't have a lot of sort of in-between sort of swing dudes. And that's why Simo is like so important as well, I think, because, you know, he could guard all the way 1-5 anyway, whereas there's no one else really who could do similar left behind him. So I'm going to take Jingles one. The shooting, the defense, the trash talking, he's just going to get in Simo's head the entire
the
time.
Podcast.
It's going to be the Ingles insight. There's a lot of insight.
Offense.
I get to hang out with Renee as well. This is going to be fucking great. I love my team. All right, who's your number two pick?
So with my second pick, I'm either going to go with Bogey, my Kings man, who is a champion and number one overall pick, or am I going to go with Patty Mills? I've got to go with my heart and go with Patty Mills. Yeah. He is going to play point. I'm going to put Benny at shooting guard or small forward, depending on what happens here. But yeah, no. So now I got to take my mate Patty Mills, future PM, future flag bearer for the 2020/2021 Tokyo Olympics, hopefully.
Love it. I need a backbone to my defense. I'm taking Bangers second with my second pick. I've got more shooting than you'll ever be able to contain. He's going to be awesome. He's going to lay some wood. Paddy's going to make two drives to the basket. Bangers are going to lay him out, and he's not going to try again. It's going to be threes the rest of the way for Paddy. Yeah, Bangers with the number four pick overall. My number two. Nice one.
I'm taking Bogut then. I'm going to – you didn't take him, so I'm going to take him.
Yeah. So this is also, you know, in terms of idealized versions of the players, Bogut at his absolute best is a fucking beast. People forget it because we have watched a lot of old-ass Andrew Bogut for the last, what, 10 years, I guess, ever since that mongrel Amari Stoudemire undercut him and fucked up his elbow. He's basically had to play like an old bloke, and he was incredible, though, for the first 5 years of his career. So, well played. I'm going to take Hammer as my shooting guard. Ooh. Because I need a bit of chutzpah off the bench. And imagine the trash talking already with Hammer, Jingles, and Bangers. This is fucking great. I absolutely love it. And apparently I'm constructing the world's whitest team, too. Shit. that's not great. Anyway, cool. So that's number five. I'm taking Hammer. Who you got?
I got the Grey Mamba. Yeah. I'm taking Gazy.
Good call. It was either between Hammer or Gazy for me, and I just wanted Hammer just because he'd probably start a fight with your team.
You know he would. He'd probably shank somebody in the showers after the game if he lost.
Most definitely.
How good's his shooting form, by the way? I was watching a highlight the other day and forgot how crazy that shit is. It's awesome.
It's absolutely amazing. Fascinating player.
Makes Lonzo look good.
So I'm going to take King Dally as my point guard with my fourth pick. Now we've got grit. We've got defense at the one and five and the three. This is fucking great. So far, mine's Dally, Hammer, Jingles, and Bangers. You've got Simo, Paddy Thrills, Gazy, the Grey Mamba, and Big Bogey. This is pretty good. This is all shaping up pretty nicely after four picks each. So who you got at five?
I'm going to shift Bogey into power forward, and I'm going to bring in Lucian
as my center. Lucian Longley. Going to reverse Kanga, the visitor dunnies. It's pretty good.
We're going big. We're going big in the hope that Bogey learns how to shoot a three and that in the modern game, perhaps Luke too could join the party and drop a few more points than 7.21 points per game.
Love it. I'm going to, with that in mind then, I'm going to bring in, we mentioned him just earlier, recurring guest on NBA Australia, Chris Anstey. To play power forward next to Bangers. I think that's a great inside-outside combo. Both can float outside a little bit. This team, my team, has got a shit ton of shooting with Dally, Hammer, Jingles, Anstey, and Bangers. Yours are going to be a bit of clogged up paint, I reckon, there, Carson. Longley, Bogey. You got Gazy and Thrills and Simo. You got three non-shooters out there. Jesus. Rough as guts.
You know what you don't have, though, is you don't have Brokoff. Oh, who's going to be my next pick?
Great call. So Rowdy's your sixth man?
Gutted to see him cut this year, or, you know, what happened there this year.
Yeah, that hurt.
Is it cut? Is that what they call it, basically?
Waved. Or? He got waved. And, waved. Yeah, it's a tough one. I'm going to take the Creek Freak. Didn't have the world's longest run in the NBA, but did play for two different teams. And, again, recurring guest. I might just actually be taking recurring guests apart from Rowdy. Also been on the show twice. But the Creek Freak, I've got so much grit, you're not going to be able to fucking move against my team.
You know what you don't have, though, is you don't have a flying kung fu kick.
Oh, good call.
I'm taking Thon and his ever-so-beautiful three-point shot and his massive kung fu kick. Just to fuck up the rest of your team.
I love it.
One kung fu kick will take out six of your guys. Easy.
I'm going to take Mark Bradke next with my seventh pick just to break up him and Gazy because Look, if you had Gazy and Bradkey and Simmons, you basically have the Tigers, and we can't have that. So I'm going to take Bradkey. Also, now I've got a nice amount of size. I've got the Creek Freak coming off the bench as well as Bradkey. Got my swing, got my big. Feeling good.
I'm tossing up now a couple of people here. Dante, who's been breaking my heart for years. Or Jonah, who shows flashes of brilliance. But I'm actually going to flip the switch here, and I'm going to go with Baby Shaq. Ooh. And I'm bringing in Nate Jawai just to lay some elbows.
Outback Shaq. Jesus. It's pretty good. Can't argue with that. I'm going to take Dante Sexum. I need some of that southwestern suburbs grit to go with the Maryborough grit, the Adelaide grit, and the rest of the grit I've got on this team. But Sexum, he's my eighth pick. Because, you know, I've got Dele, I've got Heal. I don't really have, you know, the world's greatest scoring guard, point guard. So Dante Sexum it is. Nice one. That's my eighth pick. We've got two more each. And it's getting thin pickings at this point. Jesus.
It really is. I know you want Ricky Grace and Darnell Mee on your team. So I'm going to have to go with Jonah Bolden.
Nice one.
The Philly Phoenix son of Bruce.
Great. With that then, I'm going to take, again, another recurring guest here on this here program, David Anderson.
Solid choice there. I thought you were about to say Isaac Humphries.
He's not a recurring guest. He's only been on the once, so yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
So,
but his pipes have been on the show more than once.
Yes.
So I think we've got one pick left each here, right?
That's right. And it's a couple of interesting picks here, I reckon. So who you got?
This is a really tough one. Now it's real slim pickings. I thought we had some great players here. I'm going to have to go with the golden pipes of Isaac Humphries on our team and just play big here.
He will at least be able to sing his way into your hat later on off the bench. Well, this then, I might go Dengadel over Shentz. Over Bairstow, over Mangok. And I don't really want to count Ricky Grace or Darnell because they're naturalized Australians in the end. So I might go Dengadel. So I've got a couple of swing dudes on my team. So I feel good about that. Nice one. There you go. That's it. The NBA Australia Aussies draft. This is fucking great. So who do you reckon, whose team do you reckon wins this matchup? So Carson, you've gone Big Simo, Ben Simmons, Patty Thrills, the Grey Mamba, Andrew Gaze. Then you've got Bogey and Longley. Then off the bench, you've got Rowdy, Ryan Brockhoff, Kung Fu Thon McCur, Outback Shaq, Nate Jawai, son of Bruce, Jonah Bolden, and Hump Day, Isaac Humphries. You got a lot of size. You got Hump Day, you've got son of Bruce, you've got Nate, and you've got Thon off the bench. But, I mean, you do have two point guards, basically, in Patty Thrills and Simo and Gazy.
This is fantasy, right? We are playing fantasy. We're not playing, like, real basketball here, right? We're just playing for stats.
You might dominate the boards, I reckon. And then my team is King Dally, Matty Dellavedova, The Hammer, Shane Heal, Jinglin' Joe Ingles, Chris Anstey at power forward, Bangers, Aaron Baines at center. Man, that's a lot of shooting on that starting lineup. I love it. And then off my bench, I've got the Creek Freak, Mitch Creek, recurring guest, Mark Bradkey, who actually responded to one of my Instagram posts the other day. Thanks, Big Bradders. Dante Exum, Big Dave Anderson, recurring guest, and Dengadel. So I got a couple of swing dudes off my bench, Creaky and Dengadel. And, you know, two centers, Mark Bradkey, Dave Anderson, and a point guard. With Dante Sexum. So pretty good. We're going to post these up on the NBA Australia, Twitter, IG, Facey. That'd be pretty good. And you can decide who won. It's fucking great. That's a good one. How do you feel about your team there, Carson?
I mean, hearing it back and probably going to hear it back sober tomorrow, probably not that happy with it, but you definitely sound like you have a lot more balance to your team and much more well thought through, whereas I was just going for big motherfuckers who can throw some elbows. Yeah, like, you know, how many elbows you got to hit Shane Heal with until he shuts up? That's the question.
I don't think there's enough elbows in this world to shut up the hammer. That's how it goes. All right.
I'm also wondering who is going to put Baines on a poster because we have to make that happen.
Yeah, that's going to be...
Maybe Simo. Simo.
Loves a good poster. All right, so it is top five season as well. Speaking of Simo, got asked about this the other day. What memorable Simo games were there? As this person was contending, there weren't too many, and I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Dude has actually rocked up pretty hardcore in a lot of playoff games where the rest of his team have kind of shit the bed and also had some pretty massive ones. So let's go check out a bit of the top five Big Simo Ben Simmons games because it's top five season. Yeah. I guess this counts as Outback Takeout. Step on in to Outback Takeout. I guess, look, how do you feel about Simo over there in the States there, Carson?
I love Simo, and I love the flack he gets for not being able to shoot a three. There's nothing, you know, I loved all the memes about, you know, COVID-19 and basically his shot.
Social
that was
distancing.
Great.
That was pretty good.
But yeah, I honestly think he's a great player and I really hope he develops a shot, but for somebody who doesn't have a shot to be able to average the type of numbers he does and to play the way he does, it's really cool to see. And I hope that he can lead the Boomers to gold, not to silver or bronze, but to gold next year.
That was one of the very first Outback Takehouses when it came to the coronavirus as well, that this was all a USA invention in order to duck Australia in the Olympics this year. Right, so honourable mentions for the top five Ben Simmons games. It was an amazing one that I watched in a Midtown bar with my buddy Murph, who's a Miami fan. Actually lived just outside of Miami for ages with his partner for a while and is just a huge Miami fan. And this bar was pretty packed. And I was like, all right, cool. This is pretty fun. Miami, Philly, great, great opening salvo of those playoffs. And in game four, in the 2018 NBA playoffs of the first round, dropped 17, 13, and 10 and four steals in a huge win that basically got pretty much clinched the series for Philly. This was a tight series all the way through and Simo had an amazing game in basically the clinching game. Murph was shattered, but it was also the point where Murph's like, man, Simo was really fucking good. And I'm like, I told you, he is fucking a gun. So 17, 13, and 10, that was great. There was another playoff win, game six, to keep the Sixers alive in the playoffs last year against the Raptors in the second round. Simo had 21, 8, and 6 on 9 of 13 shooting. Amazing game. 11-point win. They get through to game seven. Kawhi's shot. Kawhi gets that stupid fucking roll. They go on to win the title. Simo and his 21, 8, and 6 in game six is completely forgotten about. He was really good that series as well. Don't ever forget. So number five, however, there was an amazing game that he played April 2018 against Cleveland. That's King Daly. He had 27 points, 15 rebounds, 13 assists, four steals and a block on 12 of 17 shooting. Fucking hell. 27, 15 and 13. Not bad. That's all against, who was it? Cleveland.
Cleveland.
A 1-point win over Chicago in February 2018 is number four. This was a then career high, 32 points. Shot 13 of 18 from the floor. He had 11 assists as well. He has 32 points and 11 assists. Settle down there, LeBron. 7 rebounds, 1 steal and a block. 6 of 11 from the free throw line. Pretty bloody good. First round against the Nets last year. Again, people forget this, but this was a 5-game series, but the Nets won game one, and it was tight all the way through. Philly eked it out. Game three against the Nets last year, 31 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. Missed 2 shots for the game, 11 of 13 shooting, unfucking real. And then just before Christmas 2018, up against the Raptors, before they would go on to win the title, obviously, dropped a massive 26, 12, and 8 on 11 of 13 shooting again. In a 25-point win where it's like, fucking hell, Philly are for real? didn't really help them later when the basketball gods kissed in that fucking Kawhi shot, but here we are. And at the very height of all the Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, I don't know, furor, brouhaha, can they play together? Do they need to trade Ben Simmons? Do they need to trade Joel Embiid in January this year? Simo beat the Nets basically by himself. He had a career high 34 points, 12 assists, 12 rebounds, 5 steals, and 2 blocks. That's a combination that's never happened before in the NBA, shooting 80% from the floor. Absolutely incredible. Carson, I think that's a pretty good game to go 34, 12, and 12. 5 steals, 2 blocks, shoot 80% from the floor. When you're breaking NBA records and shit that's never been done before, I think that's pretty high up there. What do you reckon?
That's pretty damn good. But Jimmy, I think you're forgetting forgetting one game, which was the Kendall Jenner game that he played. I think he got 34 Getty images, 8 link backs, and maybe 12 inches in there in that game. If I'm not mistaken,
it's a pretty good game. Not bad. Not bad. All right, let's finish this off with a quick yeah nah, just about the season for you. What do you reckon? Bit of yeah nah for Carson. Carson, do you reckon we get this season back? Does it come back? Yeah nah.
Oh mate, I think. The NBA want it back. I think everybody wants it back. I think, like I was talking about earlier, as a Kings fan, I don't really want that for anybody because it's just like there's going to be an asterisk on this season. It's, yeah, like the shortened seasons, you know, lockout seasons, there is an asterisk on those seasons. And I don't know. I just, how are they going to do it? Here, they've just started talking about, and they were talking 2 days ago, they were talking about basically social distancing through end of April. Now it's through mid-May. Like, if that means mid-May now, let's say we push it to June at the earliest to start playing. Are you even going to get any regular season games before a shortened playoff at absolute best to get you finished in time to have an off-season, to be able to have a draft, to be able to have a preseason? I don't know. I'm hopeful that NBA comes back because I'm going fucking crazy as it sounds. Like, just listen to me. But at the same time, I don't think it's the right thing to play the rest of the season. So I hate to be a ball breaker like that.
Yeah. I mean, if you listen, if you listen to the show, you know I'm pretty optimistic about the NBA probably going all out of their way to make sure there is an end to this season. So I think it will come back. It's just obviously a case of when, and if it involves like them having to test every single player and team official, and sort of have it like a constant testing, making sure that they're sort of vaguely self-quarantined a lot of the time, if only to sort of knock out 6 weeks worth of a end of a regular season, then a shortened playoffs at the start of, you know, mid-June, start of July. I think they still do it. So I feel like there will be an end to the season.
You watch those finals games of the NBL, right, with no fans?
Yeah.
Like, that shit sucked. Nobody wants that.
It was pretty weird.
Isn't it? Like, it's cool because it's just pure it's just pure basketball. But there's none of that other ancillary stuff that comes along with a game where, you know, the home crowd starts roaring and brings the crowd back. There's none of that, you know. You can only get so many girls with a fucking cowbell fucking hitting a cowbell next to your bench to make a difference, you know. So I don't know. I just don't see the league coming back in time with fans to make it the type of finals that the NBA this season, in particular because of Kobe's death, in particular because of that this year, there needs to be a finals, but it needs to be done the right way. Yeah. Like,
and I think they will. I think there'll be no fans. I think they'll play it behind closed doors and they'll basically try to get it over as quickly as possible. And then try to move on And I'm pretty sure that's the entire thing. Like, they'll basically make it as safe as they can for the players. They'll everybody tested over and over and over again to basically ensure that no one has it while they're playing. And then try to keep everybody sort of self-quarantined anyway. And then try to knock out 3-game series, I think, and then get through to a finals where they sort of just, you know, if only with their broadcast partners, I think they'll want to make it happen. Doesn't matter if it happens in August. I think they'll make it eventually happen. Giannis over
you
LeBron.
You think a 3-game, just quickly, sorry to recap. You think a 3-game finals?
No, I think it'll be a 3-game playoffs basically up until probably the conference finals where they might do it 5, and then finals might be 5 again as well, maybe 7. But I think they'll just want to sort of knock it over.
Do you remember what they played in that lockout season? Did they play a 5 or a 7 in the final?
Pretty sure they still played 7 in 99 because it was just like there was also that weird move because I think first round was still basically 5-game series as well, you know? So
oh, that was before that change, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a weird sort of, you know, mix because, what, 50 games for each one? And, yeah, it was a 7-game series. So, and, yeah, there was 7-game series in the Western Conference Finals as well. So they sort of kept it the same all the way, not all the way through, but, yeah, into the finals they played 7. So, because San Antonio won 4-1. Checks out. Yeah, nice one. All right, well, next, yeah, nah, Giannis over LeBron for MVP. Yeah, nah.
Giannis over LeBron for MVP. Yeah, nah, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Nice.
Like, LeBron's great. Never been a huge fan of his, even while I've lived down here. But you can't deny what Giannis is doing. He's been phenomenal this season. I think he's been the best, most consistent player all season. And I think, to me, that's the biggest difference.
Yep, good call.
Like, LeBron has had some moments of consistency. Harden started slow. He came back. But Giannis has just been a fucking G from day one. Like, this year is his season. And it honestly is a bit of a bummer to see that he doesn't get to try and finish off his season. I don't think they would have got 72-10 or even 70-12. But it would have been cool. Like, wouldn't it be fucking cool to see the Bucks be the NBA champions for the first time in shit? I would have to Google when they won, but I know it's gotta be at least in 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, sometime around then.
72, I wanna say, wasn't it?
I've no idea, but I know 70, it's a long fucking time ago.
71, because I think 70 was, this is off the top of my head, 70 was the Knicks. I think it was 71 with the Bucks, because 72, I'm pretty sure, was the Lakers team. And then 73 was the Knicks again. 74 was the Celtics. 75 were the Warriors. 76 were the Celtics. Yeah, so 71.
Look at this guy.
I'm gonna check that one before I look like a fucking idiot.
Well, let's say it's 71, 71, 81, 91, 2001, 2011, 2021. That's nearly 50 fucking years. Mm. We're old.
That's crazy. Well, there you go. That's the last year nah. I mean, will/would have Milwaukee won the title? Yeah, nah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, nah, I think they would have. I think this would have been like the first year or the first Golden State Cleveland year. Something would have happened and LeBron just wouldn't be able to pull it out. I mean, we've seen him, I hate to say this, but we've seen him struggle several times in the finals. And I think this, although with everything going on with Kobe, and that would have been the fucking coolest storyline if the Lakers came back and they did it, and they did it in a full season, I just really don't think, like, I just don't see them beating Milwaukee. Milwaukee are a better, well-rounded team than that Lakers team, in my opinion. Personally, my opinion.
I feel like that Bucks team has, like, got just so many dudes just down the roster that you kind of can just rely on every so often just to show up. Whereas I feel like the Lakers are really leaning a lot on Dwight, Rondo, KCP, etc. Whereas the Bucks have got fucking Caruso. Like, whereas the Bucks have got at least like George Hill, Wes Matthews, Brooke Lopez, Robin Lopez, just some dudes who are like a legit consistent performers who would probably show up when the, you know, when it's nut grabbing time. Maybe not Bledsoe, but anyway, you know, I don't know, it's fascinating.
He's the barber, right?
And this is why I really want to see this fucking season come to a close, because it'd be fascinating to see if Milwaukee can do it. So there you go. Nice one. All right. Was there anything else you want to talk about, Carson, or is that it? You happy?
No, the only thing I want to say is, as a massive fan of NBA Australia from fucking, oh, I probably started episode, I don't know when it was. All I remember is Bogut tweeted something about one of your articles, and I started, that's how I found out about you. And I was like, shit, Australian guy podcasting about the NBA, and I started following you. And it's been such a pleasure to watch you go from what I used to listen to. And like, I listened to that first season, got to the end of the season. Then I got to listen. I went back and I listened to all those other episodes that I didn't get to catch. One through fucking 80. Yeah, dude. Some of those early ones were a little rough, no offense. But here we are talking, you know, across continents now. You've got a massive crowdfunding behind you. I couldn't believe how quickly that shit got locked up. Like, that should be super proud for you. Seeing you move back from the States, you know, I felt like a super cool connection with you because I was in the States. We had that sort of thing going for us. I know I reached out early. I sent you a t-shirt fucking with the Sonics and shit. So
which I still wear to this
I
day
really
too.
Appreciate everything you've ever done. You've helped my days here. I used to commute and it used to suck, and you used to be, you know, that 45 minutes to hour every day that would get me off that fucking highway. So I really, really, really appreciate it. And, yeah, it's so dope to see you move back to Australia. Super jealous. You got your squid now, just like me. You're got your house. It's great to see, and it's dope. And, like, I don't know you for shit, but I hope to one day have a beer with you, and I feel like I know you pretty well. So thanks, Jimmy. I appreciate everything, mate.
Hey, man. Now you got me all choked up, so better fucking end this, better end this episode. Holy shit. Now, that's awesome. Thanks,
I feel
man.
Like
this
it's been a long one.
It's been a long one, but it's been awesome. It was great to have you on. Like, it was, as part of the Kickstarter, it was really sort of built around, like, you know, people who want to come on the show and fucking hang out and talk some shit. This is like a great fucking example of it. So really fucking awesome. You've been great to talk to. It's been awesome having you on. And thanks for all the support and all the fucking, you know, tweet support. Everything else on Facebook.
Anytime.
All the socials. Appreciate it, man. So go follow Carson on Twitter. Go do that. In the meantime, make sure you're following us on Twitter, IG, Facey. We'll put up the draft that Carson and I just did on socials probably tomorrow when this goes live. And yeah, that's kind of it. We'll be back next week. We'll have another guest. There'll be a bunch more dumbassery. It's going to be fucking great. So, you know, enjoy that. We'll close off today with a Diary of Stephen Adams, which should be pretty good. Big thanks to From Ozzo and all the other bands. Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. Give them a smash on Bandcamp, Facey, Triple J on Earth. Remember, go buy some of their shit, because artists are fucking struggling, just like everybody, and probably more so, because they can't even play any fucking gigs. Tough scenes. But in the meantime, Carson, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Anytime, mate.
And we will catch you next week, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, fucking look after yourselves, would you?
Later, Jose.
Later, Jose.
'Kia ora, bro. How's it going, eh? Stephen Adams here, bro. Hope you're all staying safe, eh? Just pop on by for my usual diary entry, bro. So, here goes. Oh, dear diary, it's me, Stephen Adams, eh? Oh, Petunia, that brute, because you're my diary, eh? And you know all my deepest, dark secrets, brew. Like how I don't use toilet paper anyway, brew. I just have a collection of finely shut coconut shells next to my dunny, brew. Sweet as eat. Anyway, I hope everyone's doing okay everywhere with this coronavirus, eh? It's been a bit weird here, everywhere in the US, brew, and obviously everywhere. But I'm here, all cooped up in UKC, brew. But luckily, I've got plenty of space to roam around on, eh? That was one of my things when I brought this place, eh? I was like, hey, real estate agent, brew. I'm a big fella, and I need lots of space, eh? So now I've got plenty of room to drive my ATVs, brew, and go hunting and wrestle the bear that lives down by the creek, brew. So I've been fine, eh? And luckily, brew, and this might come as a bit of a surprise to you, eh? But I'm a bit of a survivalist. Because, I mean, that's what happens when you grow up in New Zealand, brew, with like 26 brothers and sisters, eh? You learn to live on what you can forage, brew. So I've proven I can actually live on nothing but a piece of old shoe and a fallen tree branch for about 6 months, eh? So, sweet as. But it's actually really okay, brew, because with my survivalist instincts, brew, I've actually got about 18 years worth of hungies hanging in my shed, brew, with about another 2 years ready to go in the ground right now. Yeah. And that's basically what I've been doing, brew, for the last 3 weeks, eh? Just hungie after hungie, brew. Basically, or it's like, it all goes one for me, one for the apocalypse. One for me, one for the apocalypse. So yeah, I reckon I've got enough food to get by, eh? And I'm feeling pretty full too. Feel bad for little Chris though, my friend who's on my team. I reckon he's already started eating people by now, hey brew? That fellow was just looking for an excuse, eh? But my other friend Terrence, I reckon he's also up against it though. That fella, he lives on Cheetos and Mountain Dew, brew. So I don't know how he's going. Maybe I'll invite him around to ride it out with me, brew. Maybe I can make him a pavlova too. An apocalypse pavlova. Oh, that sounds great, is he? So things are okay with me, brew. I hope they're all good with you. And I'll write again to you next week. Until then, stay safe and healthy, brew. Kia pahora. Cheer, cheer. Love, Stephen Adams, brew.